The title for my sermon today is Accountability as a Christian. And I want to talk about how we as Christians hold ourselves to a different standard than the rest of the world and what it means for us to do that. Now, when people have an accountability system in place, they inevitably do better and more with their lives. Accountability, by its very nature, is a very personal endeavor. And as the definition implies, it's about being responsible for one's own actions. And we have to realize that we can only ever be responsible for our own actions, not for anyone else's. Hands down, that is the truth. You know, when we fall off the wagon, as they say, we know it. When we succeed in life, we feel it. When we miss our goal, we feel the burn and know that we need to do better. What we do with this information is what accountability is all about. Again, not what someone else thinks about us or does to us, but very personable. Accountability means that there is an account, an actual record. And even if we can fool the world around us, there will be an account of our actions in our own minds. And more importantly, there is a record of who we are that is kept with God. You know, our own subconsciousness will hold us accountable for how we show up, how hard we try, the failures that we have, the sins that we commit. Everything is recorded in our minds and with God. If you will, you can turn to Revelation chapter 21, verse 22 to 27. Actually, we could just skip a bunch of that. We'll just skip down to verse 27. It's talking about in the kingdom. It says in verse 27 of Revelation 21, nothing impure will enter it, nor will anyone who does not or who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's book of life. In Revelation 22 and verse 12, look, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to each person according to what they have done. The account of who we are right now as human beings, what we have done, what we have accomplished, how closely we have walked with God, what we have overcome, how we have allowed Christ and the Father to live through us, this will all have bearing in the long run. And we are accountable for these things. In Romans 14 and verse 12, Romans 14 and 12, the Apostle Paul says, so then, each of us will give an account of ourselves to God. Each of us will be responsible for and have to take accountability for their actions. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and verse 10. Once again, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each of us may receive what is due us for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. Hopefully we start to get to see this picture. Accountability is happening now. It's real. It's not something that we have to worry about sometime in the future. No, our accountability, yes, will come into play in the future, but it's actually important now. Now we have those who have come before us, right? And they've left a trace of who they were and what they did. And some of those highlights and some of those lowlights are left for us to draw from. And so it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, beginning in verse 11, these things happened to them as examples. Why? And they were written down as warnings for us, on whom the culmination of the ages has come. So if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. Verse 13, no temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. This is saying that the things that we will go through as human beings are not that different from what happened to humanity centuries ago. Human nature is human nature. Satan is Satan. He is always there trying to trip up people. So standing firm in what we hold ourselves accountable for is key to maintaining our Christianity and our faith. You know, if we consistently fail and fall in our lives, then we are proving that we are not close enough to God. We can only overcome all things because God gives us the power to do so, as it just said. But if we didn't have that Holy Spirit, then we are just like the rest of mankind, unable to really hold ourselves accountable. Now, accountability doesn't happen by accident. You know, we define our purpose. We define what our path is going to be in life. In our lives, in our work, in our homes, in our relationships, we define our culture. And we have to be the ones to define this culture of accountability. 100% it starts with each of us. We have to be the ones to model the behavior that we want to see. If you take children, it's quite a scary thing. They model just about anything. You slip one time and they're on it like hot. And then they're saying words that, you know. That is just that human nature, right? But that's taking ownership. We have to continually take ownership of what we want in our lives. You know, if we're not taking ownership of our lives and we're not meeting our commitments to ourselves and to others, why would anyone be interested in believing what we are believing? Why would they want to follow the life of a Christian? You know, our words cannot shift given the circumstances that we face. Can people trust us to be the person we say we are in all circumstances? And this is part of what God is testing us on, what he is actually interested in seeing. Can we go through the myriads of ups and downs in life and the twists and the turns and still show up as Christians, no matter what the situation may bring? Is the life we are living publicly the same as the private and the internal life? If not, there will be clashing and it'll come out. I quickly wanted to just mention the opposite of accountability. Now, accountability is oftentimes linked to workplaces where people spend a good amount of their lives. And I mention this because it's an easy way to show the opposite of being accountable. There's been many times in my life where I have personally seen people, and been guilty of it of myself, of not taking responsibility of some piece of work or a situation. Accountability matters because not having it means no one can be held responsible. Creating accountability, then, is about creating a culture where people value responsibility and where people understand that accountability involves a certain degree of autonomy, being able to do things on your own without having someone to watch over your shoulder at all times. You know, when no one trusts each other to do the work they're assigned, employee morale takes a hit. When employees feel like they can't trust their bosses, they feel devalued. And when employees aren't valued, they are less likely to be engaged in their work. The American Physiological Association wrote a survey in 2018 called Work and Well-Being Survey, and they found that 91% of employees who feel valued at their jobs are motivated to do their best. So it's a domino effect. Low accountability leads to mistrust, which leads to low morale, which leads to worker devaluation, which leads to low engagement, which leads to low productivity. One thing after another just falls. Now, during the announcement section, I have this in my notes, but we were talking about politicians and the president, and if you want to see a group of people who doesn't want to take accountability for any of their actions, you just have to look at the government. They say they want to solve problems. They want to lead groups of people to do great things. But what really happens? Well, they just like to point fingers. No, this person did it wrong. No, the people who are not getting the vaccine are the ones causing all the issues, et cetera, et cetera. The scribes and the Pharisees of Christ's day were just like today's politicians. Mostly they like to be seen, they like to be venerated and worshipped. But what problems did they actually solve in the people's lives of that day? Most of the time they created more issues for people, placed more of a burden on them. In Matthew 23 and verse 23, Christ says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, and hypocrites! For you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin," the very tiny little herbs. They're worried about people paying the tithe of that. Minuscule pieces of food. And he says, "And yet you have neglected the weightier matters of the law." The things that actually are important, you've actually forgot about. You don't care about those. Justice and mercy and faith. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. So accountability means taking it all in. You know, when someone doesn't hold themselves accountable, it's actually very selfish. It's a self-serving attitude that cares for nothing and no one except for oneself. And that is exactly what Satan wants, is that type of attitude about caring for nobody but oneself. Neglecting responsibility is a very self-destructive behavior, both in mind and in body. And it causes consequences that are extremely difficult to repair. In James chapter 3 and verse 16, James says, "For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there." When people don't take accountability, things start to go awry. When they don't take ownership, they go into kind of this spectator mode where they just watch things fall apart. Or they go into a mode where it's, they say, even worse, I told you so. I told you so. Look, this is happening. And so it becomes like this self-fulfilling prophecy. But when people start to take ownership when things do go wrong, they start to step into the solution mode. They try to figure out what's going wrong, how to fix it, how to make it better. Brethren, we are accountable for any failures in our lives, as well as any successes that we may have. We own the problems, we own the solutions. You know, when we decide to do things the way we want to do them, there's going to be a part where we're going to have to take accountability and own up to our actions to find a way to fix the problem. And sometimes those problems that we do ourselves end up being very big problems. Thankfully, we have God on our side to help us find a way to get out of our stupidity and help us get out of our way. In 2 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 13, we find a very big problem that David is having. 2 Samuel 12 and verse 13. And it's a situation that he has to take accountability for. Then David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. Nathan answered, the Lord has taken away your sin. You will not die. But what you did caused the Lord's enemies to lose all respect for him. For this reason, the son who was born to you will die. Then Nathan went home. And the Lord caused the son of David and Bathsheba, Uriah's widow, to be very sick. Verse 16, and David prayed to God for the baby. David fasted, went into his house, and stayed there lying on the ground all night. The elders of David's family came to him and tried to pull him up off the ground, but he refused to get up to eat food with them. On the seventh day, the baby died. And David's servants were afraid to tell him that the baby was dead. And they said, look, we tried to talk to David while the baby was alive, but he refused to listen to us. If we tell him the baby is dead, he may do something awful. And when David saw his servants whispering, he knew that the baby was dead. So he asked them, is the baby dead? And they answered, yes, he is dead. Then David got up off the floor, washed himself, put lotions on, and changed his clothes. And then he went into the Lord's house to worship. After that, he went home and he asked for something to eat. And his servants gave him some food and he ate. And David's servants said to him, why are you doing this? When the baby was alive, you fasted and you cried. Now the baby is dead, you get up and eat food. And David said, while the baby was still alive, I fasted and I cried. I thought, who knows, maybe the Lord will feel sorry for me and let the baby live. But now the baby is dead, and why should I fast? I cannot bring him back to life. Someday I will go to him, but he cannot come back to me. It's not a good translation there, but this is an extremely sad situation brought on by David's sin. And yet God allowed this situation to go through just as he said it would. And once it happened, David did what he could. He fasted, he sought God. And then once the baby died, David had to move on. He had to take responsibility for his action. Yes, this was a tragic outcome. But it did not invalidate David as a person. He took accountability for this, and he moved on. I thought of some of the other people in the Bible who had to take accountability for the things that they did. What happened to them? When Aaron built the calf for the Israelites, he pointed his finger at them and said, "They made me build it." Did not want to take accountability. Moses, when he struck the rock, he had to take accountability and wasn't allowed into the promised land. Miriam, when she murmured against Moses along with Aaron, she became a leper for a few days. Again, having to take accountability. So it's not always easy. It's not always fun to have to take accountability for the things that we may do in our lives. And so now I wanted to give some reasons why accountability is so important for us. One of the things is that having accountability means that we have to have standards. And standards are based upon truth. As Christians, this means godly truth. We have accepted and we have given our word to God that we are going to be accountable to Him. God has standards for how we live, how we think, how we operate. And we can't allow these standards to become corrupt. And so the question is, do we have these standards within ourselves? I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. David said this in Psalm 101 and verse 3. This was a standard that David set for himself. Did he always follow it perfectly? Obviously not. But it was a standard. He wanted to keep himself in the truth, on the right path. Another quick thought is that we can't allow ourselves to have other people's standards. Because it is God who sets the standardized standards. People will always add what they think they should be doing, what they need to do. And a lot of the times they will try to impose that upon other people. But we are the ones that are responsible to know what God's standards are for us in our lives, in our situations. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 21 says, "Prove all things and hold fast that which is good." We have to prove to ourselves what is important, what standards we are going to stand for. And doesn't matter what. Yeah, people aren't always going to know how what we say, how we hold ourselves accountable, is actually true. But it will show up. It will be evident to people as life goes along. In Matthew chapter 7 and verse 20, Christ says, "Therefore, by their fruits you will know them." It's speaking about others, and it's speaking about ourselves. We should be able to step back and meditate on our lives and hopefully see the fruits of God's Holy Spirit weaving their way through our life, through the moments that we live. This is a truth. It is a truth of who we are. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 14 to 15, 2 Timothy 2 and verse 14, says, remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord not to strive about words to no profit, to ruin of the hearers, but be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Knowing what the truth is in our lives takes being diligent, trying to figure that out constantly. We're in 2 Timothy, so go ahead and jump over to chapter 4 and verse 2. Chapter 4 and verse 2, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their errors away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of the evangelist, and fulfill your ministry. The difference between those two worlds, wanting to know the truth, seeking the truth, and being afraid of the truth and hiding from it and doing their best to run away from the truth. The truth can be painful at times. It can be hard to deal with, but it is the truth. Another thing that is important is this promise of, and this is a promise to ourselves of seeing it through to the very end. Saying you will do something and then following through to the end takes accountability. And it doesn't matter what that is in your life. Doing something to the best of our ability, showing up when we don't feel like it, and doing what needs to be done. In Numbers 30 and verse 2, it says, when a man makes a vow to the Lord or takes an oath to obligate himself by a pledge, he must not break his word, but must do everything he said. The things we tell others, the things we tell God, the things we tell ourselves, we have to have this attitude and this mindset of, I will see this through. It's having a belief in ourselves, a belief that we will do it, that we will accomplish what we are saying. It has to do with self-respect. When we don't uphold our own accountability, how we think we should act based on our value systems, we don't feel good inside, depending on how we meet the requirements that are in our mind. There's a saying that says, how you feel about yourself when you are by yourself matters. That is so very true. If we are saying things to people, to ourselves, to God, but we are living a different way of life than what we are proclaiming, then we are destroying ourselves inside. In Romans 14 and verse 22 and 23, Romans 14, 22, 23, it says, do you have faith? Have it to yourself before God. Happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves. But he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because he does not eat from faith. For whatever is not from faith is sin. the things that matter to each of us in our lives and from person to person is different. It's very personal. But how we meet those challenges is not personal. It's something that we should all be doing in one way or the other. It's accountability. Holding ourselves accountable is a pillar of self-worth. Your true accountability leads to wise living. It's a combination of knowledge of God through His Word and the experience of living that out to do the best in one's ability. We incrementally make ourselves better by drawing closer to God, by allowing Him and Christ to live in and through us. It's a very sincere pursuit, this incrementally getting better and overcoming. And it's what God actually cares about. It's what God wants to see. It's the journey and the hardships that we overcome that is what God is looking at. You know, we can't live for a future time, and we can't live in the past. We have to live in the here and the now, the very present. That is where we are living. You know, I often think about this concept of growing in the Holy Spirit. But how do we actually accomplish this? How do we make the actions of God's Holy Spirit more a part of our life? If we don't think about them, we don't spend time focusing on them, they will not happen. Choosing to be a Christian doesn't automatically create within us this ability to be like Christ. If that was only the case. Rather, we have to constantly be thinking about this process of changing, about how to apply the Spirit in our life. And it's not easy. In order to actually grow in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ as it instructs us to, we have to realize that we have to take action. It has to be something that we plan to do. And Peter warns about this pretty strongly in 2 Peter 3 and verse 18. 2 Peter 3, verse 18, reading from the NIV. But grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. To Him be glory now and forever. Amen. Growth is necessary for steadfastness. We can't persevere unless we are continually advancing in our faith. 1 Peter 1 and verse 5, it says, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. The salvation is what we are going to need. And this is the last time. This is a time that we need faith. That we need God's shield protecting us, helping us. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. Without God's word, how can we grow? Without knowledge of the truth, we can't grow. Without a focus on growth, we will not be able to stand. In 2 Peter 3 and verse 18, it says, continues, therefore, dear friends, since you have been forewarned, be on your guard, that you may not be carried away with the error of the lawless and fall away from your secure position. Now, it's easy to stand up here to preach about these things and to, you know, sit there on the Sabbath and think about them for a couple hours. But it's harder to actually go out there and live as a Christian day after day. And there are days where it feels like it would just be easier to let it drop, do something else, stop swimming against the current, stop doing the things that we do. Think about the Sabbath, for instance. How easy would it be if we could work on the Sabbath? How many business opportunities are lost because we can't work on Saturdays? What about tithing? We set aside 20% of our income, and then on third years, we'd set aside 30%. That's not easy. But we continue on in these things. We keep pushing forward. I think about Daniel's friends in this regard. You know, they were doing what they were doing. They knew the command, and that they continued to not worship this image. This didn't just come and something that they just did off the cuff. It took years of training, years of them having faith and belief in God to pull this off. And yet the power of their words to the king, "We will not fear you, O king. We will do what God says. And even if we burn up in the fire, know that we will not worship you." They took accountability for their lives, what they believed, and they took action on it. And so accountability has to have a place in our lives at all times. There can't be a time when we aren't willing to take accountability, even when in weakness and in doubt. You know, there's a sting when we let ourselves and others down, when we fall from accountability, when we sin. But there's no sense in wallowing in that, but rather we have to get back up and get going again. We can't use failure in our lives as a way to get out of accountability. We can't say, "I failed, therefore I am a failure." That's not true. Failing doesn't make us a failure. Failure in showing up for yourself and holding the line doesn't mean that you aren't accountable. It means that in that moment you weren't accountable. But we are doing the things that we said we are going to do. We get up, we keep going, we keep pushing forward. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35 and 36, it very helpfully says, "So do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what has been promised." Continuing to trash ourselves because of some sin holds no good for us. In Philippians chapter 3 and verse 12 and 14 from the Amplified Bible, Paul says, Philippians 3 and verse 12, "Not that I have already attained this goal of being Christ-like, or have already been made perfect, but I actively press on so that I may take hold of that perfection for which Christ Jesus took hold of me and made me his own. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider that I have made it on my own yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward for what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal to win the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." the goal of making it into the kingdom of God helped Paul to keep striving forward, even if he fell down, even if he sinned, if he didn't hold himself accountable in that moment. That goal of making it into the kingdom of God is a very big goal. It's one that God has called us for, that he thinks that we can and will make it. We have to realize that we have to continually push on no matter what. It should cause us to really dig in and think about how we can do better, how we can make that incremental progress. Consistency in prayer, Bible study, and meditation. Those are things that matter. Those are things that are incremental and small, but they build up over time. Things like thinking about the fruits of the Spirit and how they work in our lives, that matters. Showing up for church members and family, that matters. Being one to be the one serving, not being served, that matters. James 3 and verse 17 says, "But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, and then peaceable, and gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy." Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. You know, accountability, brethren, is not a one-time thing. It's an all-time thing. Resilience to push through is something that we continually have to grow in. There are people who don't want to be held accountable. They're always looking for opportunities to get out of any accountability through looking for slips or gaps. And when they find them, they take them. But that's not us. We have to be accountable at all times in our life. In Titus chapter 2 and verse 7 and 8, says, Titus 2 verse 7 and 8, "In all things, showing yourself to be a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing integrity, reverence, incorruptibility, sound speech that is not cannot be condemned. That one who is an opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say of you." And finally, in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 23 and 24, Colossians 3, 23 and 24, "And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ." Brethren, we are accountable for what we know and how we use it today. We are accountable tomorrow and for every day that we have left. Whatever time we have left on this earth, that is what we are accountable for towards God. He is looking. He is watching to see what we are going to do as Christians, how serious we are going to take this life, what we are going to do to help those around us as we go. So hopefully, we all take a little bit more accountability into our lives.